What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined by my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. As always, we got our start with San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for four seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, let me start by saying Merry Christmas. We're only going to have three shows this week, but it is Crossover Wednesday, so we definitely had to get this show out for you guys because we're talking with the Locked On Chiefs today. But hope everyone out there is driving safe. Might be rainy weather conditions. And just to say Merry Christmas and thank you from the Locked On Chargers podcast for being so loyal and still listening, even when the Chargers don't give you any reason to listen to the show. So Merry Christmas to you guys. Excited to have a show for you guys to talk about today, getting into the Locked On crossover with the Locked On Chiefs podcast. We're going to get into John Kegley, our resident expert on all things that went wrong, and then get the silver lining from it if there was any. Mine are pretty much all on the defensive side of the ball and mostly individual performances, but there are some things that went right in this one. As we always do every week when we're talking about what went wrong in any given game, and there's always much to talk about with the Chargers, we start with John Kegley. So John, you were at the game on Sunday in a stadium that was packed with Raiders fans. What do you have for us for what went wrong this week in a week where a bunch of things did go wrong?
Well, first, let's just mention the crowd was absolutely horrible. As someone who was there, it was literally 90% Raider fans, and I'm not even making that up. It might have been 95% Raider fans. I could not find Charger fans anywhere except for two sections away from me, and that was it. When we scored Melvin Gordon's first touchdown, I could not really see any part of that stadium actually jump up when he scored. I heard like the slightest, faintest cheer you ever heard. If you would have thought we were in Oakland, it was pretty embarrassing. And the fact that fans are all over Facebook saying they're diehard this for life and whatever, but yeah, hey, you're not there. You sold your ticket to the opposing team, but yet you're a diehard, right? Yeah, get away with me with that. And then I want to talk about how predictable that play calling was. Again, simple running it up the middle over and over again, and then doing the same exact routes to Hunter Henry and Austin Ekeler over and over again, doing the same passing routes to Melvin Gordon over and over again. And it was so predictable, and we rarely ever took a deep shot. We rarely took a chance. It was the same exact routes over and over again, and you never went away from it. And it worked maybe two drives. The rest of the drives, they basically figured out what you were doing and you didn't go away from it. I don't know what it is with Anthony Lynn and his style, but it seems really stubborn to not switch it up and become better at it.
Well, and now we've seen it across two different coordinators, and I think we have seen a little bit more variety with Shane Steichen taking over, but I don't think it's been much. And it still seemed like no matter what routes the Chargers were running, no matter what the running play was, the Raiders seemed to know it was coming. I mean, that's not a good defense. And for them to be as close to those receivers, as on top of those routes as they were in that game, made me think that they knew what was coming. And there was almost nothing downfield to work with at all. I mean, Phillip Rivers wasn't even testing it, so they don't turn the ball over, but they didn't create very many explosive plays or push the ball down the field very much. And as far as the stadium goes, I mean, we've seen how bad it was, and the last couple of weeks have been really bad, and you could kind of see that coming with two big fan bases, with the Minnesota Vikings having a dedicated fan base that always packs their stadium, as well as the Raiders, who have a huge following in LA. And you combine that with the fact that the Chargers are out of contention. I mean, this is pretty much the first time since they've been in Carson that they've been out of contention, and we could really see how little fans were going to show up. So it's hard for me to blame the diehard fans very much. I know a lot of those fans live in San Diego still, so it's hard for me to blame too many of those people. But you're right, season ticket members that are selling their tickets, I don't know if I'd want to be one of those season ticket members that's going to that game knowing that I'm not going to be finding another Chargers fan anywhere in sight. But getting back to the game, one of the biggest things that went wrong, as well as not being able to create any explosive plays down the field, was rushing the football, David. And obviously, we have to go there because the Chargers ran the football 16 times and only amassed 19 yards. I mean, if you think about the fact that Melvin Gordon picked up 10 on his big fourth and two run, I mean, the rest of those carries went for 9 yards, the other 15 carries. So, David, we've seen this Chargers offense go into lulls. They had the four games where they didn't eclipse 40 rushing yards earlier in the season consecutively. And in this game, it was that all-time bad 19 rushing yards.
An absolutely embarrassing, abysmal rushing effort by the Chargers in this one. And part of the blame has to be on the offensive line. They could not open up any holes whatsoever. They were terrible in this game. Now, the runners weren't much better. I mean, I think Austin Ekeler had a couple okay. Melvin Gordon got stopped so many times behind the line of scrimmage, but that's because the offensive line got absolutely no push. They didn't open up any holes on the day. They were awful. Absolutely terrible run blocking. And the Chargers couldn't stop the run either. I mean, after the second half, when the Raiders made the adjustment to start running the football, they had tremendous success. And the Chargers couldn't. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't stop the run. They were terrible in the trenches in this game. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, and the Chargers, when you look at their stat line, I mean, they averaged less than 4 yards per carry, did the Raiders. But the bigger thing was they just kept getting it chunk play at chunk play. They just kept getting it to those third and twos where they continued to convert time and time again. And if you're talking about holes, if you look at the holes opened up by the Raiders offensive line compared to the Chargers offensive line, which was basically non-existent, I mean, it was really hard to watch. But another couple of things that have to get mentioned in this segment were Rayshon Jenkins missing another huge tackle that results in a long touchdown for the Raiders. On Hunter Renfrow in this game, another 50-plus yard touchdown. You think back to other plays like Marlon Mack week one, where he breaks off the long run with Rayshon Jenkins taking a bad angle. You have Cortland Sutton against the Broncos, who breaks off a giant touchdown because of a missed tackle by Rayshon Jenkins. It's hard to have him back there as the last line of defense when you see those angles. Derwin James erased another play that would have been a touchdown, I'm convinced, had he not been there, because Rayshon Jenkins got shook again and got pretty much shed by the running back easily. It would have been another big touchdown. Fortunately, Derwin James was there, but you have to mention that. And also, the Chargers getting off to just a putrid start again. 0 points in their first five drives, only two first downs in the first five drives, as well as ending halves and starting halves. The Chargers give up points, a touchdown right before halftime again with horrible clock mismanagement. And then you come out of halftime, you get the ball ran down your throat, and the Raiders take it from a 7-7 game to a 21-7 game. So before we get too much into that, we do have to cover in the last part of it some of the silver linings. And John, I thought this was a positive game for Jerry Tillery. I mean, the pass rush as a whole was really good in the first half and pretty much not there at all in the second half because the running game for the Raiders picked up so much. But I thought it was a good sign to see Jerry Tillery getting some success rushing the passer. And I think it just started with him actually getting out there in obvious passing down situations, which we haven't seen that much. But him and Melvin Ingram made quite the duo coming off of a couple of stunts. One time Jerry Tillery gets there with Melvin close by. The next time Melvin gets there with Jerry Tillery close by. So in a season that's lost, that is kind of a thing you want to see from a rookie who's going to have to improve a lot going into next season.
I would agree with that. There was times where my seat was actually 6 rows from the field, so it was kind of hard to see jersey numbers until they actually get turned around. I could see the back of their jersey, and I was always like, oh, Justin Jones got in there pretty nice. And I'm like, oh wait, that's Tillery. How did Tillery get in there? I was impressed. I was not expecting Tillery to be close to Derek Carr a lot in this game, but he was. And every time he turned around and I saw the 99, I was shocked. So he impressed me a lot in this game with how well he was able to pass rush. And yeah, him with Melvin Ingram did make quite a duo with those stunts. And I wish I could have seen that more in the second half just because of how easily the Raiders were creating those big holes in the passing game. But it's kind of hard to do that when the running game was so good for the Raiders that you don't have a linebacker around to cover up those deep routes. So Tillery, I don't know how to say this, but Tillery, if he would have done that from the beginning, he probably could have been in the running for a Defensive Rookie of the Year award, but he was so slow. Just like the Chargers were this year, getting started. And now he's starting to heat up. It makes me feel like he's going to do good next year. But we thought that last year too, with how well we heated up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is with Jerry Tillery is having this offseason for him is going to be so huge. And I'm not saying that he deserves to be picked in the first round or he's lived up to his draft day expectations by any means. I mean, there's a lot of metrics putting him very far down on the list of eligible defenders. But at the same time, I think it's just safe to say that the jury is still out. I mean, to have him, you know, start his career coming off of an offseason where he didn't really have an offseason, recovering from shoulder surgery, and thinking he's going to be in there on first and second down to stuff the run, getting double teamed by offensive linemen, and setting that anchor early in his career, I think was a lot to ask of him. But progress is all you want to see from him, because at this point, you just want to see that he can maybe turn into something down the road. But David, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Derwin James in this game. And yes, most of my things on the positive were from the defensive side of the ball. I guess really the only thing I can say offensively is zero turnovers, but they also, you know, didn't create very many explosive plays and weren't on the field for many extended drives either, which helped that a lot. But Derwin James was the highest Chargers defender this week on Pro Football Focus, an 85.7 grade, the third highest in the NFL amongst safeties. He had 8 tackles, 7 stops before the first down marker, and allowed only 2 receptions for 0 yards. I don't know how he didn't get an elite grade in this game, because when I see those numbers, that looks pretty elite to me.
Absolutely. And he's such an amazing player, Daniel. It's so fun to watch him out there when he's healthy and he's running around doing all the things that he can do. And one of the things I just wish I could see more from Derwin James is him rushing the passer. He's so good at it. He got a lot of sacks, I mean, as a safety last year as a rookie. And I mean, he just has a natural ability to shake an offensive lineman and get in there for a sack. I mean, he's just such a talented player. I mean, the Chargers made a great pick when they brought Derwin James in. It was so lucky that he fell to them at 17. And man, it sucks that he had to be hurt all season. The type of numbers he possibly could have put up would have been absolutely incredible to see, I would imagine. But man, yeah, a great game by Derwin James, but you know, you wish you just had more of him. I mean, he's just such a good player. But for me, what I saw that did go right for the Chargers, and it is on offense, but, you know, it's not that great. The Chargers actually had some success in the red zone. When they got there, they did score 2 touchdowns. So we did say beforehand that the Chargers would have an opportunity in the red zone because the Raiders are bad at it, and the Chargers did capitalize when they got there. They just didn't get there enough.
And the one red zone opportunity that they had where they kicked the field goal, they actually did pretty good plays for the most part to try to score touchdowns, like trying to target Mike Williams. They tried to target Keenan Allen as well on one of those plays. They actually were trying to target the right people instead of trying to target a running back or trying to run it from second and goal from the 11 type of stuff. They actually were targeting the right receiver. So I would say the red zone play calling was actually pretty good too.
Yeah, of course. I think it had to be better. I mean, you're going up against one of the worst red zone defenses in the NFL, but from the Chargers, you'll take progress in that area any way that you can. And Mike Williams also had one of those balls go right through his hands as well. It is nice to see them finally targeting him in the end zone, something we've wanted to see all year long. And you have Melvin Gordon with another drop in this game too, where he might have been able to potentially convert a first down on a long third down play. Just so many things, but I think that was something that went good in this game. So definitely nice to see the Chargers making some progress, even though obviously it's much too late. But we do have 2 more segments to get into, because it is the crossover episode of the week, and we're joined by Locked On Chiefs to get into this weekend's game right after this.
Hey, we're back for another crossover episode, and I'm joined by David Drogermeyer of Locked On Chargers. David, how's it going?
Well, I mean, as good as it can be for watching a 5-10 football team who invents a new way to lose a football game every single week. Their futility is absolutely amazing, but here we are.
Yeah, it's got to be a little frustrating. Every year the Chargers are picked to do very well in the division, and they seem to keep falling backwards as opposed to moving forward.
Yeah, no, it's just the same story. I mean, for me, I just ascribe to the philosophy of building from the inside out, and the Chargers have always focused on their skill position guys instead of building up the lines and the trenches where you're really going to win most of your football games, and unfortunately, the Chargers have not done a good enough job in that area.
So my first question to you is, looking at this game, obviously Kansas City is in a little bit of a different position. They're playing in the playoffs. Los Angeles will not be in the playoffs. Do you see the Chargers sitting anybody that may be dealing with some kind of injury, or sitting anybody in general for this game?
Probably not. I'm sure if there's any young guys that they feel, you know, are on the brink, you know, they might hold him out. Like last week, they held out Justin Jackson, their third string running back, who has been dealing with a little bit of a hamstring issue. I mean, because the Chargers season is lost and, you know, they're already focused on next year, I don't think they're going to push anybody to play. But, you know, guys that have been dealing with injuries all year long, like Mike Williams with his knee injury, I think that's something that they're just going to continue to nurse and play through. I mean, again, they got one football game left to worry about. I think everyone that's healthy or wants to go out there and play is going to play.
Now, where do you think the Chargers are going to go? Obviously, my biggest question going into this game is this going to be Phillip Rivers' last start for the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask Phillip Rivers, I mean, I would say no. I mean, Phillip said in his press conference when a couple of reporters asked him if, you know, he still wants to play, he absolutely unequivocally said that he wants to continue playing football. He wants to play here. He still thinks he has the physical attributes to be able to do it. His mind's still sharp. He feels healthy. He still has the desire to play. Now, if that's going to be in a Chargers uniform or not, we don't know. Obviously, this has been one of his worst years as the starting quarterback of the Chargers. So, I mean, they very well could be looking at going in a new direction. I mean, they're going to be stepping into a new stadium next year. But I don't think anybody's safe at this point. I mean, after a 5-10 season, I think some heads are going to roll. I mean, I think there's going to be some people that might get fired, and, you know, there's going to be some turnover whenever, you know, you have a season like the Chargers have had. So I couldn't answer that question for you. I mean, my gut feeling is that they'll bring him back for like a 1-year deal. I think they're going to draft his replacement because they have to. I mean, the reality is he's 38 years old. So, you know, whenever you got a quarterback that gets up there in ages, you have to start planning for a contingency and, you know, start grooming the next person in line. I think the ideal situation would be to have him come back, draft a young rookie, and have him learn under Phillip and take over the next season.
Well, and you look at his season this year, 18 interceptions. That's a lot of turnovers for a quarterback, especially like Rivers, who really hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions in his career. He has had some seasons where they've ticked up a little bit, but this one a lot more so than any other. What are you seeing from the rest of the team? What have you seen from the rest of the Chargers offense? Obviously, Eckler's had a fantastic year. You know, you have Gordon, who's played pretty well down the stretch. Do you think they're going to maybe look at bringing him back next year?
Not at the price tag that he's looking for. I think Melvin Gordon still believes he's a $12 to $13 million a year running back. And with the production that you mentioned that Austin Eckler has been giving you, and I think they like what Justin Jackson can do and his shiftiness, they're definitely not going to be interested in Melvin Gordon at that price. And I think Melvin Gordon's going to have a lot of suitors this offseason. I think he is playing for his next contract, for his next team in this game. He's going to try to put up the best stats that he can. I mean, that's all he can do is try to focus on who's going to pick him up next. I doubt that it's going to be with the Chargers.
So when you flip it over to the defensive side of the ball, they have Melvin Ingram, they have Joey Bosa. You know, it looks like they're set at pass rusher. They have some other question marks on the defense, obviously. What do you expect to see this week coming up against the Chiefs team that has really looked very good on offense, at least in the first half of the past 5 games?
Yeah, no, I mean, if I knew the answer to that question, the Chargers probably wouldn't be 5-10 right now. But the Chiefs are a phenomenal team. I mean, obviously they have great speed with Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill, and obviously a fantastic tight end in Travis Kelce. Patrick Mahomes is starting to play a little bit better, which we'll get into that in one of my questions on the other side. But I mean, I think you have to try to plan for that speed. I mean, they're going to try to take the top off the defense, and you have to try to play as tight of coverage as you possibly can. I mean, every team plays their best when they're balanced, and the Chiefs are no different. I mean, they're going to try to set up the path with the run. And so I think it's going to be more important to stop the pass in this one. I mean, that's their go-to. That's what they do extremely well. They like to get people in motion. They like to get people in space. They like to attack the zones. They really have to be, you know, playing extremely tight coverage. And I think if you want to take anybody away, I mean, I think it's got to be the speed guys. You want to try to limit Tyreek Hill as much as possible. I mean, we say that every time we play the Chiefs, but it's no more true than it is this game too. And also, I mean, Travis Kelce got the Chargers pretty well in their last matchup. So I think they need to do a better job of bottling him up when they play. But I think that's going to be the game plan.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up Kelce. My next question to you is about defensively, when you look at what Derwin James has brought to the team this year since he's come back from injury, what have you seen? How has he been able to change the Chargers defense?
Well, I mean, he's just a once in a generational type of player. He's so gifted. He does so many things well. It's really unbelievable. I mean, he can rush the passer, which I would like to see them do a little bit more. I mean, I don't know if that's they're scared to do it because of the health type of thing, but he does that extraordinarily well, and I'd like to see them do that more with him. But he's a freak. He can play back, he can play in the box, he can stop the run, he's one of the more sure tacklers, he can erase any tight end in the league. I firmly believe that, and I would like to see him shadow Travis Kelce a lot in this game. If you try to at least take away one or two of the big weapons and try to make one of the other ancillary pieces beat them, I think they would have a much better chance of even, you know, staying alive in this game. But I don't know. The Chargers don't have anything to play for, and the Chiefs have everything to play for, so that's just a recipe for disaster.
So you think that Derwin James can take Kelce one-on-one and stop him?
If it's one-on-one, I do believe he definitely has the ability to shadow Travis Kelce and stop him for the most part, or limit him. I don't know if anybody can truly stop him. I mean, he's a tremendous player. I mean, I give him his credit. I mean, Travis Kelce, you know, throughout his career has been an extremely productive tight end. And I think, you know, of anybody, any defensive player around the league that stands a chance to really just limit him and not let him, you know, take over a game, I think Derwin James would be one of those guys where you would say he has the skill set and the ability and the size to be able to go one-on-one with Travis Kelce.
All right, real quick, before we flip over and you ask me questions, I have to ask this. Do you think that the Chargers are going to be changing coaches in the offseason?
No, I don't think they're going to be changing the head coach. I think, you know, the coordinator positions, I mean, right now, offensively, Shane Steichen's kind of going through, I would say, you know, on the job interview, if you will. You know, they're trying to kind of see what he does and, you know, evaluate him while he's actually performing the task. And, you know, that job is open. I mean, he's done an okay job. He's definitely, you know, improved the run game a lot. You know, when he took over before he took over, the Chargers could not run the ball at all. They were completely anemic. And when he came in, that all changed. So, I mean, he's done some good things. He's also, you know, obviously, you know, shown that he's a young coordinator and, you know, he maybe just doesn't have it all quite yet, but he's an exciting young coach and, you know, he might get an opportunity to actually run the show for real, but I wouldn't be surprised if they want to bring in someone more established. As far as Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator, is concerned, I think there is a good chance that he might get let go. I mean, the Chargers' pass defense has been fantastic. You know, they're, you know, top five in the league, but their run defense has been towards the middle and the end. And with the talent that the Chargers defense has on their – the young talent, the young core players they have on their defense, for them to give up what they give up against the run and kind of that bend, don't break, I think they should be much better than that, and they're not. So I would say Anthony Lynn is safe, but both coordinator positions are probably going to be open season.
All right, well, when we get back, you're going to start asking me questions about this game from the Chargers' perspective, looking at the Chiefs, and we will be right back. Going at this from the other direction, I'm sure you have questions about this game from the Chiefs' perspective. So what are some of your questions for me?
All right, so and we're back here with Chris Clark of Locked On Chiefs, and you know, hey, like we mentioned, these teams are going in two completely different directions. The Chiefs have the AFC West locked up. The Chargers are playing for next year. With that being said, though, it is week 17, and, you know, sometimes these teams don't have anything to play for. Is that the case for the Chiefs, or do they still have some playoff scenarios that might work in their favor?
Well, you know, honestly, the biggest thing for the Chiefs is if New England wins, they are stuck at the 3 seed. If they lose this game, they could fall down to the 4 seed. So it does matter to Kansas City. They cannot take this game off. They have to play it like it's a regular game and play everybody and expect to win the game. And I think that that's what they're going to go out and do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have a hard time believing the Chargers are going to stand a chance in this game, just given how well the Chiefs have been doing and how poorly the Chargers have done. But what do you think has been the main turnaround in the Chiefs' defense over the last month?
I think what you're really seeing is continuity finally getting to the defensive side of the ball. I think early in the season, you saw a Chiefs defense that really struggled. They didn't trust each other. They didn't have chemistry. They didn't exactly know where they were supposed to be. They were playing slow because they were thinking too much. And I think what you're seeing now is a Chiefs defense that's really attacking, and they trust each other. They know that their guys next to them are going to do what they're supposed to do. And I think the back end of the defense has been playing phenomenal. Tyrann Mathieu has been playing great, and so has Juan Thornhill.
Yeah, speaking of Tyrann Mathieu, that was one of the guys the Chiefs gave money to. Not only him, but Frank Clark. I mean, what do you think of those moves now? Do you think that those moves have paid off in your mind?
Tyrann Mathieu, absolutely. I do think that he's been a fantastic signing for Kansas City. I think he started a little slow to the season, but they've kind of changed the way they're using him as well. He's working a lot more down in the slot lately, and he's being allowed to blitz at times. So I think that's something that's right up his alley. I think that Frank Clark started slow, and I think part of the reason it did come out midway through the season that Frank Clark was dealing with an injury most of the first part of the season. At times he said that he was only at 20%. When the season started, doctors told him not to play, but he played anyway. I think what you're seeing for Frank Clark right now is the guy that Kansas City was expecting to see. He's a guy that's going to shut down the run on his side of the field, and he's going to get after the passer and do well doing that.
What do you think about when you hear that type of situation? I mean, at 20% and he wants to play anyway, I mean, isn't there a situation where you kind of have to protect the player from himself? I mean, I know he's making a lot of money, but I mean, at 20%, are you really helping the team or are you hurting the team?
That's a great question. And that was definitely something that I was wondering when I first saw it. You look at the whole situation, and honestly, I'm not exactly sure what Kansas City was thinking by having to play. Although I do know that obviously he wanted to play. That was the whole reason he did. I think it was a situation where they thought that they could be better with him, in even not necessarily 100% or anywhere close to 100%. He was dealing with mostly a nerve injury that was keeping him from using his hands the way he needed to be able to use his hands early on, and maybe another injury or two as well. It kind of surprising to me that they let it go that far, but he's definitely rounded into shape now.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. So, you know, speaking of, you know, let's switch over to the quarterback, to the offense. You know, the Patrick Mahomes didn't he didn't really look like himself after he came out with that injury, came back after that injury, I should say. But the last couple of games seems like he's starting to round back into MVP form. What do you think has kind of been the difference, and, you know, how does he look to you right now?
Well, I think he played one of the best halves of football he's played this season against this past week. I think he played fantastic. He came out ready to go. He came out against the Bears, threw the ball down the field, was connecting on throws, stepping into throws, even had a couple where he's kind of fallen away, but put the ball right on the money. I think he finally looks comfortable again. And I do think that I'm not going to say he came back too early, but he wasn't himself his first couple of games back, and I think that was something that you could really tell from the way he was playing. But it does look like he's gotten to a point where he's willing to step into things at this point, step into throws, and he's not necessarily falling away. He's keeping his eyes down the field, which is really big for him, because when he does that, he's able to hit receivers down the field as opposed to just throwing the ball away or taking a couple of yards with a run, and that really changes the look of the offense.
No question about it. So going into this week 17 matchup, as the Chiefs head to the playoffs, is there anything that you want to see the Chiefs improve on as they try to make a playoff run?
Yeah, I think I'd like to see them get a couple of more different wrinkles thrown in to get the playoff teams looking at different things that Kansas City can do. I want to see them kind of get the ball to Mecole Hardman a little bit more. I also want to see him continue to work on the running game, because I think that's going to be important down the stretch in the playoffs. I think that they are showing that they can start to run the ball a little bit better right now, but it's just a matter of, can they actually get it and be successful when they absolutely need to be, when they're going up against a team that has a good running defense? And that's going to be a big question going into the playoffs.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, I mean, the Chiefs are going into playoffs, like you mentioned. They're going in hot. They're probably going to beat up on the Chargers more than likely. So we'll see if they have more success in the playoffs this year as opposed to years past. But best of luck to the Chiefs the rest of the way.
Thank you very much. Good talking to you, David, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you and all your fans as well.